Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you today. We're coming back to the pro-life issue. I think this is a very important topic for Christians. It certainly has been a defining position of the Christian church since the first two or three centuries. I'm thinking the letter to Barnabas. I'm thinking the Didache, all referring to abortion as a basic sin, a violation of God's law, and a description of what is pure evil. So this has always been the position of the Christian church since the first century, and we deal with this in our book, Keep the Faith, on Family and Sexuality. If you'd like a little book to summarize Christian position on abortion, homosexuality, and the rest, you might want to get a copy of Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality. But it's been significant that abortion has come back into the Western world and into most of the developed nations that have been influenced by Christianity. It's been a setback after 1,000 years, Iceland being one of the last nations to illegalize infanticide in the year 1000, roughly the year 1000 when the gospel finally made it to the nation of Iceland, and the big hairy guys met on the rock. It was just like all got together on this big old rock, and they made a decision that they would follow Christ as a nation, and they agreed they would obliterate infanticide. And that was roughly 980 AD, so that would have been about 1,000 years ago. And of course, since then, abortion has come back to the Western world, just about every nation, including Ireland and New Zealand, falling in the year 2020. In fact, New Zealand being the last nation to fall of the Western nations in March of 2020, and 3 days after they approved abortion, COVID-19 hit, and they had to shut down the world economy. So just for what it's worth, Mexico now being the next nation. So I think Argentina fell to abortion this year. So now South America falling like flies. So again, the nations that have been most influenced by Christianity over the last 2,000 years falling and haven't fallen the last 30 to 40 years. I think this is somewhat eschatologically interesting. I'll just say that. It's eschatologically interesting. But here's a little history on that from Taking the World for Jesus. 500 years of Christian missionary work in Mexico in one form or another has produced some positive effects. Human sacrifice was halted in short order, although the people were subjected to a different form of slavery. Through the centuries, there comes clear evidence of Christ's rule in Mexico. For example, in 1931, Mexico banned abortion. In 1931.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that.
In 1931, Mexico banned abortion. In 1996, the pro-abortion Guttmacher Institute reported that Mexico had the lowest abortion rate in Latin America. That's something? So that's progress. That's something good. That's decent. Homosexuality was suppressed in Mexico until 1871, when the Napoleonic Code was incorporated, taken from secular Europe. Local magistrates continued to limit the public nature of the sin until 2006, when Mexico City legitimized same-sex unions. And so that was the influence of Christianity in Mexico over, I'm going to say, a period of 300-500 years. Protestantism made it into Mexico in the 1850s and 1860s, largely through the influence of a young woman named Melinda Rankin. And I tell the whole story of Melinda Rankin in Taking the World for Jesus, one of the most interesting stories in missionary history. You got to read the story of Melinda Rankin. I don't believe her biography is available anywhere right now.
Yeah, I'd never heard of her.
Yeah, first missionary. She wasn't exactly a missionary. She just handed out Bibles, and before you know it, indigenous Mexican pastors rose up and began establishing churches. So it's an amazing story of how Protestantism and the Bible made it into Mexico for the first time in the 1850s, 1860s, 1870s. All right, all of that and Taking the World for Jesus. Be sure you get a copy of that. Well, we want to talk about what's going on in America now. There are some states that are providing some limitations on abortion, including the state of Texas. And what in the world happened with the U.S. Supreme Court decision last week? We're going to talk about that next on Generations.
Attention, homeschool parents. Here at Generations, we know that finding literature curriculum that engages your children's minds and helps them develop a strong Christian worldview can be an overwhelming task. That's why we've developed a Christian discipleship-focused literature curriculum that's centered around the most important work of literature ever written, the Word of God. Not only do our Bible-centric courses seek to place Christ at the head of literature studies, but they will also teach your children how to analyze all literature from a Christian perspective, enabling them to be more than conquerors in today's battle of worldviews. By introducing them to the essential stories of the faith, along with the written works of history's best Christian authors, our literature curriculum provides the bedrock for a firm foundation of faith in the hearts of your children. So, get started today with Generations Christian Discipleship Curriculum and watch your children embark on an incredible journey towards strengthening their faith and discovering the greatest Christian stories ever told. You can learn more and browse our selection of carefully curated works at generations.org/curriculum. That's generations.org/curriculum.
And we are back on the Generations broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you. Question is, are the conservatives making any progress in the United States on abortion? I would argue that overall we're not making progress on abortion, largely because of the increased use of the IUD since the 1990s. About a million babies killed by the IUD in the early 2000s, upwards of 7.5 million killed every year in America by the IUD now. According to the best data we can get from the Stanford study on the use of the IUD. And my friends, conservatives have this impression that the reduction in surgical abortions is an indication that things are getting better. But no. The use of high-efficiency birth control, largely funded by Obamacare, has changed the situation. And if the child who's conceived in the womb is made in the image of God, we have to assume that abortions are up 3 to 4 fold since the late 1990s. But the U.S. Supreme Court just a week ago refused to block a Texas law that amounts to a ban on abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The vote was 5-4, and it turns out the three Trump-appointed justices did the right thing. Chief Justice John Roberts joined the liberals on that one, Bill. Not a surprise. He's made some progress. He's made some progress in the liberal direction since 2016, when the U.S. Supreme Court struck down two of the most regulative abortion laws that were enacted in Texas back in 2016. Kennedy was a swing vote on that one.
Right.
Kennedy joined the liberals in 2016 to reject the Texas law. Roberts did the right thing in 2016, but did the wrong thing today. Not a surprise. He did the wrong thing on Obamacare. He's done the wrong thing on almost everything since roughly 2016.
Yeah. So what do you think of the decision?
Well, apparently the Biden administration, I was going to say Obama administration, but the Biden administration is not happy with this. It turns out that The Justice Department has asked a federal court in Texas to stop the enforcement. Now, I don't know how they do that. How does the executive branch of the U.S. government oppose the U.S. Supreme Court? Do they both have their own military and then they fight it out? How does that work?
That's a good question.
I'm just not sure how that works.
The Supreme Court, you know, in not hearing that case, made it very clear that the law in Texas is constitutional.
Yeah, I guess so. But at this point, as pro-lifers, we need to be asking ourselves, what's the strategy now? Where do we go from here? Now, I would say that there is something positive about the conservative states set against the federal government and set against the more liberal states. Overall, I see there to be a positive trend among some of the conservative states in America taking a position, a pro-life position, on some of these regulative laws. Now, obviously, we have a debate on the question of abolition, whether we go for abolition or whether we go for certain regulations on abortion in the respective states. And I get the differences between the abolitionists and others. Now, one of the principles I do like to use is when you repent of something, usually there has to be something of a concerted move in the right direction. For example, let me give you an example. When somebody falls into the sin of pornography, they usually slowly work their way from R-rated movies to the X stuff and then on into the worst forms. And then after a while, they're addicted to it. Now, getting off of it, you can't just stop pornography on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. You can't just say, well, I'm moving off of the more egregious forms and I'm moving on to the less egregious forms, and I'm only doing it on Mondays.
Right.
Okay. There has to be something of a concerted move. Now, what constitutes a concerted move is up for debate. I think there's room for debate on strategies when it comes to the pro-life issue.
And that's the key thing. I think we need to agree on principle, and you can debate strategy. And there's plenty of room at the table for those who want to bring about an end to this egregious act. And there are those who are convinced that it's going to have to be a complete abolition movement, full court press on that. There are others who are saying that we can regulate it to a death. And, I find that any movement to end abortion, to bring about a demise of the number of abortions, is a good thing. But I, too, understand the debate, mm-hmm. I think.
Well, as you said, let's not surrender the principle. Let's be sure we agree on the principle. And as I see it, the principle is this. The baby conceived in the womb is made in the image of God.
Right.
And is not to be destroyed.
Right.
In a willful way. You're not to, with hate in the heart or malice in heart, and lying in wait, you're not to destroy the living image of God in the womb of a woman. So that's, I believe, to be the principle, and we're not to surrender the principle along the way. Conservatives can do that kind of thing. You agree?
We can become pragmatic, mm-hmm. and pragmatism leads to compromise eventually. So you have to be very cautious that, yes, strategies come and go, principle remains. And so I think that's the debate surrounding the heartbeat bill, is it not, that this is a strategic ploy. It does not ban all abortions as we should and we want to, but it's merely a stopgap measure, and so therefore there are people on both sides of it.
I like measures in which there is pressure placed on the clinics themselves.
And that's what this has been, that's what this has done, because it's not the government stepping in, it's that the individual, that citizens can come in and say, hey, this is a violation of this act.
For example, local jurisdictions and state jurisdictions should do what they can to eliminate the clinics themselves.
Right.
In fact, isn't that what happens in the sanctuary cities in Texas and Oklahoma?
Right.
I believe that's what's going on. What they're saying is, you're not welcome here.
Right.
And that's appropriate.
Yeah. It's like certain cities in Colorado have, because they have a home rule, have decided they're not going to allow marijuana dispensaries.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. So,
same thing can happen with abortion clinics.
Correct.
Okay. And then the other thing I would throw out, again, we're talking strategies. And as Christians, we need to talk strategy. We need to get out there and do something. We can't just be in the paralysis of analysis all the time on these issues. So another point that I think should be made is that it would be good to see Roe v. Wade reversed, which enables local states to make their own decisions. And there's, I think, something of a decentralizing influence that happens as individual states have the right to make decisions and eliminate abortion in their respective states if they want to.
And I would take the position that this is a greater issue than just a state's rights issue, mm-hmm. that this is a life issue, and so therefore it's a constitutional issue. And I would like to see a ban on abortion, not just reverting it to the states. But
well, it'd be good to see that. And if the United States is going to be salvaged as a nation,
yeah,
let's just say it, guys. If the United States is going
to
be salvaged,
we're going to have to
as
repent.
A nation, we're going to have to do it.
We're going to have to repent.
We're going to have to repent. We're going to have to do it. Now, here's another scenario. The United States will not be saved. But there will be sanctuary states here and there where the right to life is preserved from womb to tomb.
And if that's the case, then I think Christians need to vote with their feet and with their dollars.
And vote consistently.
And move to those states.
Mm-hmm. And here's one more point. I think we need to insist on it, Bill. We need to say this is our agenda. Our agenda is to eliminate abortion. And I would say to eliminate IUD abortions,
mm-hmm.
and to eliminate any form of abortion which you know you're doing something technical to the body which will guarantee the loss of the life of a child. That needs to happen. Otherwise, there's an inconsistency here.
Yeah.
And let me close with this, friends. I want to encourage Christians, including churches and entire denominations, to take a stand for the pro-life issue, including the use of abortifacients, especially those abortifacients that are 100% abortifacient, convenient, cheap, no copay, thanks to Obamacare, and still used by Christians all over the place. Based on the IUD numbers, the abortion rate, as I said, is three times what it was in the 1990s. In the year 2000, there were roughly 2.6 million abortions, including surgicals and IUDs. In 2020, that was 7.8 million abortions, including surgicals and IUDs. Now, that does not include those questionable issues. And the birth control pill and other forms are questionable. We don't know. The physician's desk reference has always said that it is abortifacient. It has an abortifacient quality. That is, you risk the life of a child when you take the pill. But pro-lifers and Christian evangelicals' hypocrisy is nowhere expressed more so as in the abortion numbers. They say they're making progress. I think until we become consistent on the principle, we're not going to win the battle. And I'm not saying that in strategy, the legal strategy, we can't somehow add regulations and squeeze abortion clinics out of their businesses. And I believe we can do that kind of thing. Local states and cities can do that kind of thing, and I hope more of them do it. But we still need to agree on the principle, and that is we need to say, hey, friends, if it is a 100% abortifacient, if it's contributing to 5 million or 7.5 million abortions in any given year, we take a position against it. And the Southern Baptists, the PCA, other denominations need to take a strong stance against the IUD abortions. And we need to see that that these denominations will instruct their members on these issues. And that's why I put together a resolution that I introduced to our particular denomination. It's a small denomination of about 12, 13 churches. But I presented it, and it's interesting. We all took a vote on it, actually, with some perfections. These guys worked on this. It passed unanimously, and several of the pastors said, we need a time of prayer. We need to repent of our lack of activity, our lack of taking action on these issues in previous years. So everybody got down their knees and cried out to God and asked for his forgiveness that we have not addressed these issues before now. And friends, I just encourage your churches and your denominations to take a stance, because I think, Bill, ultimately it's got to be the Christians and the churches that take the strong stance, and then eventually that will filter into the rest of our institutions.
Yep, so I agree. I mean, until the church stands, then we shouldn't expect to see much of anything happen, and that's true in many issues.
And here's the resolution that I presented to the 2020 General Assembly of our particular denomination, whereas the Sixth Commandment of the Lord our God forbids murder, and whereas Exodus 21 reprobates even the negligent allowing for hazardous conditions in the presence of a pregnant woman and levies a penalty against the perpetrators on the untimely birth of the child, and whereas Scripture levies serious civil penalties on those who needlessly and recklessly risk the lives of others, resulting in death, and whereas the confessional statement of our denomination requires all lawful endeavors to preserve our own life and the lives of others, and avoiding all occasions, temptations, and practices which tend to the unjust taking away of the life of anybody, and whereas the Stanford study, Mechanisms of Action of Uterine Devices, indicated that an average of 0.8 post-fertilization babies were lost per woman by the use of the IUD per annum on five different IUDs tested, and 14% of American women 15 to 44 years of age used the IUD, resulting in the deaths of 6.75 million babies per annum, an increase from 960,000 babies in 2000, and whereas other forms of conception control, such as birth control pill, exhibit abortifacient qualities, according to multiple studies and medical advisements, and whereas studies have found the Plan B pill acts as an abortifacient 80 to 92% of the time, and whereas 32% of sexually active evangelical women are in use of these high-efficiency forms of conception control compared to the national average of 36%, and whereas the Christian church should at the very least be marked by a commitment to preserve human life, and whereas of all the prevalent cultural sins of the nation, this is among the most heinous and most grievous to God, especially as it is common among the churches that align themselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Prince of Life. Therefore, be it resolved that this denomination encourages all persons, including professing Christians, to stop the killing of children in the womb by either abortion or the use of abortifacients, and be it further resolved that this denomination will issue a statement on the denominational website indicating the opposition to the use of abortifacient conception control methods, in which there are published reputable scientific studies indicating abortifacient risk in the method, and be it further resolved that this denomination will encourage all other evangelical and reformed denominations to join in making a consistent stand to preserve life in the womb, and be it further resolved that this denomination will encourage all its pastors to warn its members, married couples, and soon-to-be married couples of the risks of abortifacient forms of conception control. So that's the resolution with a footnotes. And friends, if you would like a copy of that for your church or for your denomination, please just email me at host@generations.org, as I believe we will not make significant progress on the abortion issue unless and until Christian denominations and Christian churches take a consistent stand on this issue and stop killing 7.8 million babies a year. Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations broadcast. Email me at host@generations.org if you'd like information on this. Again, that's host@generations.org. And be sure to get a copy of our little book, Keep the Faith on Family and Sexuality, which addresses a biblical viewpoint on this issue as well as the opinions of the church over 2,000 years. We bring all that into one little book. It's just a short little book, about 120 pages, but it's power-packed, and it deals with the issues of sexuality, abortion, and family issues from a biblical perspective. It's called Keep the Faith on Sexuality and the Family, and you can get it at generations.org. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.